storms of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fountainhead of love divine, joyful. Lord, thy grace are thine.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, we also recognize the fellowship that we have with one another. We're unworthy, and both confess before God and one another that we've sinned in thought, in a word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be children and gathered us to be one with the holy church in which you daily and richly forgive our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, God of glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise thee, bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you also begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, and on high. You alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone our Lord Most High, in God the Father's glory. Amen. Our glad reply.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him.
that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
From Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the Hallelujah verse.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel today comes from Matthew 22 and will serve as the text for our sermon today. O Lord. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to those servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out to the roads and gathered all whom they could find, both bad and good, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him head and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please, you may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. When I was much younger, I accused the pastor of inserting hymns that just were not in the hymnal. Things that I didn't know. Well, that tune I did not know. It sounds nice to march into Zion, although I don't think I want to march to Zion today with all the fighting that's going on. Well, I've been missing y'all for quite a while. The reason I had to stop all my preaching assignments was I was having double vision. I was seeing an image of a person, then I'm seeing an image above it. So it was like this. I'm seeing a double. The good news is the attendance at church doubled. Anyway, it wasn't a pleasant thing because the problem is I couldn't read. I was trying to find a path in the middle and I was having a terrible time. Anyway, that's the reason why I wasn't here. But I'm glad to be back. I feel fine. And I've had the test run. I did not have a stroke. I've not had a heart attack. So I don't know what's holding me back, right? Just old age, I think that's it. And I had a birthday since I was last here. I turned 80. Whoa, I'm telling you, I'm just hardly thinking about it anymore. Anyway, today they're talking about feasting, and I think we're spoiled in our world today. Whenever we go out to some nice places and restaurants to eat, many times we go to nice, beautiful buffets. Now, when I was younger, there was no such thing as buffets. The closest we had was a cafeteria. And you know, cafeteria is not exactly like a buffet. I remember one time when Bobby was at a teacher's conference. I was on my own, and somehow I was out on Westheimer Boulevard in Houston. Do you know where I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. So out there, I found a most beautiful seafood buffet. I had never seen a more scrumptious place to eat in my life. My wife does not care for seafood, but I loved it. You know, where they serve the whole fish and you just pull out what you want off of it, go down to all these different things, crab legs, and just unbelievable. I couldn't remember all the things that were on that menu, that were on that feasting table. I think I had a picture of what kind of thing it would be like when we get to heaven, because we will have a feast that will never end. I remember my pastor would say to us when I was younger, he would say, I can hardly wait to get to heaven because I can eat anything I want and I won't gain any weight. I guess that's the right way of looking at it. Today we often are gluttonous because we overeat. We're going to have Thanksgiving for too long. I asked somebody if you were having a Thanksgiving dinner, because I always enjoyed those. We had the turkey dinners and things like that. My wife's family put on a feast for Thanksgiving. I've never seen so much food in my life because they love to cook, and they were all showing that they like to eat too as well. But for when I was growing up, we had a lot of TV dinners, and that was the way we ate many of our meals. We want to do things in a hurry today. I often go and get the HEB quick meals, put in the oven, and you're done. You see, the feasting that's going on in the Bible today is not that kind of feast. What it is a feast because the wedding feast is going to take place because the king's son is getting married. It's a wonderful thing. Then you're the king. You got everything you want to serve. Talk about a Texas barbecue. They're cut the calves, pull them out, put them on the spit, and there they were. And all the food you could possibly imagine. And combine that food with the fellowship and friendship and the joy you have in meeting with the family of the bride and the bridegroom. Make no mistake about it, God loves a party. He loves a feast. He brings us together for a feast on Sunday mornings where we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at this altar. I mean, it doesn't seem like an all-you-can-eat buffet, but on the other hand, it is all-you-can-eat because our Lord Jesus gives to us himself, his body and his blood shed for us, for each of us, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. The invitation to the Lord's feast today in our text was issued a long time ago, all the way back to the time of the prophets. It was engraved by the hand of God himself. No computer list, no way of sending out mass invitations. Instead, he called individually Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Called them, and he was going to be their God, and he was going to take them to a new land, a land that they would enjoy. And he said this, the invitation would be, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Boy, that's a celebration if there ever was one. At Sinai, the Mount Sinai, God invited all the elders, 70 of them, to please come forward on the holy mountain and eat with me. And they did. They ate and drank with God, and they lived to tell about it. The people of God in Israel were blessed. Those ancient promises. By the way, there's the terrible war that's going on right now. That's not the people of God that we knew, because these people, the Jewish people, have rejected God. They don't want anything to do with God who sends his son Jesus to die for their sins. It's sad, though. I don't like to see that kind of thing going on, but it goes back to the Garden of Eden when God said, I will put enmity, a friction, anger, hostility between you and the woman. He spoke that to Satan himself. He said that God would bring a Savior. He himself would bring a Savior one day. And while you will bruise his heel, he will crush your head. And that's what Jesus does when he comes into the world. God kept his promise. He made the promise and he kept it. Promised to Abraham also a homeland. The people of God are wanting to protect their homeland now. Numerous grains of people that would come on the earth, more than the grains of the sand, more than the stars that Abraham could count in the sky, and yet even in his old age he was without a child. And yet God gave him a child so that he might enjoy the promises that God has made for them. See, he conceived the people in Egypt. He conceived the people who were in Abraham's family in Ur and brought them to the land of milk and honey, of the land of Israel. And then when they were in famine and they went to Egypt and they stayed there for 400 years. So 420 years before they came back. Joseph told them that, you remember Joseph became the high king there. He became the one that distributed the food. He was right underneath the Pharaoh. And Joseph told the people of God, when you return to your holy land, take my bones with you. Joseph realized that Egypt was not his home, that he had another place in mind. And on our Old Testament reading, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make a feast for all people, and God promised a feast of salvation. Eating and drinking would take away death forever. Hard to imagine, isn't it? The Passover lamb and the sacrifice, we often sing the foretaste of the feast to come. You know, this is a feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that victory is there and it's coming, and you and I are honored guests. We're honored guests. He will do all things for us. He will serve us. He will make sure we have plenty of wine, and not the old cheap stuff we buy in the cartons in the grocery store. Come on, I know where you shop. You can't kid me. You don't go to the fine, fancy places. Who can afford those big bottles of wine anyway, and who would know the difference? But God knows the difference, and he provides for us the best. Not Mickey Mouse, but the best. You remember when the wedding feast, Jesus was invited to the wedding at Cana? And the nice thing about any time you invite Jesus to the wedding feast, he comes. And so he came to that wedding feast, and they ran out of wine. Do you recall that story? And they ran out of wine, and what did Jesus do? He told Jesus' mother said, you servants do everything he tells you to do. And he said to them, go over there and fill up those jugs with water. Fill them all up, all the way to the top, pouring over, abounding. And by the time they got to the table, the maitre d' said, you know, this is very strange. This is the best wine I've ever had in my life. Never have I had anything this nice. He said, all the other people always serve the good wine first, and when people have plenty to drink, then you bring out the bad. But you've done it the other way. God has in store for us all kinds of wonderful blessings for us that are in store for us in the eternal kingdom, which he's already prepared for us. All sorts of people came to him at that time when he was lived. Eating and drinking was a part of Jesus' ministry. My friend at Zion in Pasadena, Pastor Blaisdell, has suggested a way for his people to invite someone to your table to eat. So if you're going out to lunch, or you and your wife are going out to dinner, invite maybe someone that you've just now met. Invite them to come with you to have dinner with you. And do that a couple of times, and you'll get to know the people, and they'll get to know you, and that's the way the church fellowship will grow. And it's a good idea, actually. I know that when Pastor Hubert would hear, he would go to a lot of the local restaurants and things like that, and they would know who he was. He came in to eat and drink with them as one with them. Jesus fed 5,000 people in the wilderness, and then 4,000 on a different time. Jesus came to be the bread of life, and he says, I am the bread of life. He said, whoever comes to me and not go to hunger, he who believes in me will never thirst. And the king was a gracious host. It wasn't long ago that I was at a wedding. Normally, when I get invited to a wedding, I've had to do the service. This time I didn't have to. But nevertheless, I'm invited to this wedding. Bobby and I both went. And I don't think I've ever seen a wedding that was more lavish in the fellowship meal afterwards. There was more wine than you possibly could drink, and it was delicious. And all the meals were beautifully prepared and wonderfully served. You know, the ones that's got the napkins on the table and the silverware is all in just the right place. You know how to do that. And all the napkins, they're not cheap old paper napkins either. These are fold-up kind of napkins that you wipe your hands on and have to do laundry afterwards. That's the kind of a banquet I envision will be the kind of banquet that you and I will see when we get to the heavenly kingdom. Well, when you come to those kind of meals, especially that meal, or when you have Thanksgiving, how many of you have Thanksgiving at home, or you go somewhere for Thanksgiving? Do you go somewhere? And do you have family? Go with family. And usually, isn't there much more food that you can eat? Isn't it? Bobby's family were doing that too, and they've had the most beautiful Thanksgiving dinners, and so much more than you could possibly eat. We were never seen anything like what's going to be prepared for us in the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us a banquet that will not end. It will be a banquet that will last forever. It comes to us first when we die, but then the resurrection immediately thereafter, where we're raised into the kingdom of heaven, where we actually sit at the feast with a Lamb of God in the center, and all the four gospel writers are right there in the middle, and all the elders, all the chief priests that have made it, those will be there with our loved ones sitting at the banquet table. You imagine the excitement that will be. Imagine if there was a world where we didn't have cancer. Imagine a world where there was no heart disease. Imagine a world where there's no diabetes. Imagine a world where there are no wheelchairs, no crutches, no canes. That world is coming. It is for real. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The resurrection is yet to come. People of God, when you close your eyes at the last, and I close my eyes at the last, it's not really the last, because when I close my eyes, I will hear the same thing you do, the Savior calling out our name and raising us from the dead. All this time that we're in right now, between the time people die and buried and the resurrection, that time goes so fast. It's just going. Already when you and I die, we will be in the presence
of our Lord Jesus at the end of the world. But now the king is persistent. He wants everybody to be a part of that, right? He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to celebrate with the joy of heaven. But invariably there will be people who will absolutely refuse. But the king says, go out and find as many people as you find. Find. And then when they went out and people were treated, were terrible. And they killed some of them. And the king was not happy. So what does he do? He goes and destroys the city. So don't think for a minute that our God is not one of death. He knows how to do that too. But when they didn't have enough in the wedding feast, he told his hired people, he says, go out to the byways and highways. Go out everywhere you get. Invite as many as you find, good and bad, invite them to the king. Well, that's the joy that God is giving to us, a world that does not have cancer and wheelchairs and crutches and things like that. He's invited us to that kind of world. God wants to throw a party, and he wants you and I to enjoy it with him. It will be packed with guests, people you've never seen before but will know. People will be there in all their glory, clothed in the white robe of righteousness which Christ gives to us. Now, it was an interesting thing in this particular parable where at the near the end of the parable, there was a man who was there that didn't have a proper garment on. When I heard people say, well, maybe he couldn't afford a garment, maybe he just... No, that wasn't the issue. He came in his old dirty T-shirt and his blue jeans when he should have been wearing the robe of righteousness. And the robe of righteousness is not his own doing. The robe of righteousness is the righteousness we get from Christ himself. He gives to us himself. He wants us to be holy like he is. And so what does he do? He covers all of our iniquities and buries them on the cross of Calvary. He goes there and dies, taking every sin, every evil, every disease, and he takes it upon himself on the cross. And there he gives his life as a ransom. That is the big topic there, is a ransom. I remember when I was in catechism class and I learned the word propitiation. Do y'all remember that? Did you ever remember that? Propitiation for our sins. Pastor, what in the world is propitiation? You can hardly say it, much less spell it. Propitiation means to satisfy the demands. God demands righteousness and holiness. Since you don't have it and I don't have it, he gives it to us. That's the propitiation of our sins. He gives to us his life for our life. He gives to us his righteousness for us. So I remember thinking about this wedding feast. I remember when I was a kid, I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but mother wanted me to have a nice suit. Now, I was a little kid growing up, still can't find shoes that fit because I'm small. But the reality is there was no suit around there that I could get off a shelf, off of a hanger in a store and wear it, because it would just cover me up. I just couldn't wear it. So mother found a place that tailored suits. I lived in Jacksonville at that time, and in Jacksonville Beach, there was a tailor there. I don't know how she found him, but I drove there, and he took my measurements and took all the things and made sure that everything was perfectly and fitted, and he then put together my suit. It fit me to a T. It was the most beautiful suit. I don't know what happened to it. Don't remember all the things around it. But I do remember that Mama thought it well for me to have a suit and one that fit me. Now God has given to you and me that same suit, but one that's different. He gives us the forgiveness of sin. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a sinner. He doesn't see you as that. He sees you as his holy people, people invited to the feast. Now there's another interesting thing, and I'll bring it to conclusion near here. It says in that text, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's a strange verse in a way, right? Well, what it means is this. The gospel is going out, and he's calling, calling, calling. But many people will refuse the call, will refuse the coming, will not want to be a part of the fellowship. It's an observation. It's not an explanation of why it happens, but some people will reject the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't know why it is, but was it the king's fault? No, he'd given everything he could. Certainly it wasn't God's fault, because he was going to feed us with everything he had. It was a feast of salvation that was planned for everyone, but many are called, but few are chosen. Not everyone that gets the call wants it. Many people are called to come to church, for example, and some will refuse and won't do it. But you are here, and I'm glad you are, because the banquet feast has been prepared for you, and it's ready to be served. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understandings, may it keep your heart and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We pray for the people of God and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly King, your Son Jesus Christ purchased the church with his precious blood. Preserve her in the pure teaching of your word, in the right use of the sacraments, and in the unity of faith. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly King, you send out the invitation that all who believe in your Son should have their seat at the feast, and by the proclamation of your church, gather many, however evil they may be, to be repentant and to fill them the eternal banquet hall with all that we can possibly fit in. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly King, bless all our families and our homes in which our people dwell. Grant grace to husbands and wives that they may fulfill their vocations to one another and in their children. And grant also that as a family we may faithfully teach and learn the faith. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly King, keep the coming of your Son always in the forefront of our heart and our minds, that subject to his grace to the fleeting powers of this world, we may live with continual godliness and the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly King, for whom we wait, you promise to wipe away the tears from all faces. Bless those in our congregation who are suffering from any kind of difficulty. Bless those who have lost loved ones and are now weeping, that on the last day they may be comforted and restored and received into the kingdom of the banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly King, you have prepared a table before us in the midst of those who refuse your invitation. Keep your church sustained by the world, that we may partake of the Lord's Supper worthily, clothed in the baptismal promise of grace. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly King, also give us joy in pursuing what is true, what is just, what is pure, and worthy of praise, that spurning the temptations of this world, we would suffer no anxiety. Let our trust be placed fully in Christ, and let our hope rest in the life of the world to come. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I know you know this next hymn.
loving reverence greet him. For with words of life immortal, he is knocking at your door. Nor pain will measure, but the priceless gifts of heaven God to us has freely given. Though the wealth of earth were proffered, none could buy the gifts here offered. Christ's true body for you riven, and his blood for you once given. Now in faith I humbly ponder o'er this surpassing wonder, that the breath life is boundless, though the souls it feeds are countless. With the choicest wine of heaven, Christ's own blood to us was given. Oh, most glorious consolation, pledge and seal my adoration. He's the bread of life, I pray in. Let me gladly here obey.
We rise for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and you laid on him our sin, giving him unto death that we may not die eternally. And because he's now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Oh. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven, earth adore, heaven and earth.
glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. And we bless you, come with name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord God, our King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them from and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
To your holy hymn, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit. Ever three and one. For as in the beginning is now shall ever be, and I am now resounding through all eternity.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you always his peace. Amen. Our concluding hymn, you may be seated.
Our stay and strive.
We rise.